Dave and Doreen along with Marcus. This is the Morning KLH. Thank you very much for listening. Well, the NFL Draft 2024 edition in the books. Time to check in with our green and gold insider, co-host of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN here in Milwaukee, and also three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Jace. How you doing?
I think I'm getting old.
Why?
Why?
So I was just telling Marcus, I love the draft. Like, I hate all the buildup. And everybody pretending like they know who the Packers are going to draft and all these mock drafts. But I love the 3 days of the draft. I love, you know, finding out all these new players and the intrigue that goes into who they pick and all that other stuff. But let's see, I left Lambeau at 1 a.m. on Thursday night, midnight on Friday night, and about 11:30 on Saturday night. And I feel like if you're getting older and you tie one on pretty good, I don't do that. That's not my thing. But and then it takes a lot. Like, your hangover is worse, I think.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think I've got a draft hangover. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to recover from those late nights. I'm just not cut out for it anymore.
Well, that's what happens when you turn the big 5-0. I really think. I think that's when it occurs.
I'm only 29.
See, there you go.
Yeah. How are we going to have 700,000 people in Green Bay next year, Jason?
It's a great question. And how am I? What am I going to do with all these cats so we can rent out our house and make a bunch of money?
Right.
I don't know. I saw some of those photos and thought, oh my gosh, they're just going to be people in the back row in Appleton trying to.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. It was funny because both Judy and LaFleur talked about it too. And I still get this even after all these years of covering the draft. Like, Maddie had a track meet on Thursday. So I go, and some of the other parents are there while we're waiting because, you know, track meets, your kid competes for like 45 seconds, and then you spend most of the time standing around. And I said, well, this worked out perfectly time-wise. Now I can go to the draft as soon as they're done running. And one of the moms was like, you're going to go to Detroit now? How are you going to get there in time? And I'm like, no, everything's at Lambeau. Goody and LaFleur and all those guys, everything is at their headquarters. And so they were talking, both Goody and LaFleur were talking about how, like, they're not sure how they're going to get to the stadium. Because next year, even though it'll be here, their operation stays the same. They still have the draft room in Lambeau Field.
Oh,
they still,
yeah.
So they're trying to figure out what the logistics might look like for them to do it. So I don't. Kind of like going to Brazil.
Yeah.
I don't think that the actual football people are super duper excited. They know it's great for the community, but I think they're all worried about, Goody was talking about, do we have enough hotel rooms for our out-of-town scouts to have somewhere to sleep during the 3 days of the draft and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be crazy, and our small town up here is very excited about it.
Look, I know it's too early to tell how the draft picks will perform with the Packers, but do you think Goody addressed all the needs well enough for this year?
I think he did, Marcus, and I don't think that there's a lot of, for lack of a better term, sexy picks. Like, their first-round pick, Jordan Morgan, is an offensive lineman from Arizona. Big, played left tackle throughout his career there. You don't get real excited though, right? Like, you know, Brian Bulaga was the one who announced the second round pick.
I loved it. The booing was hilarious.
Yeah. I loved how he leaned into it.
Yeah.
Too, and he like waved him up, told him to keep it going.
How about the UK? How about the guy from the UK, the Packer fan who was trolling the Lions fans? That was awesome.
Yeah. Goody said that they were, that the scouts were in the draft room watching it, and they loved both of those interactions with the Detroit fans. And I'm guessing that there will be Packers fans next year who will be booing the Bears. And
sure.
It's all in good fun. But, I don't, to answer your question, Marcus, like, a lot of times sexy is not right, right? Like, you want if you're building a football team, you want those solid guys, those guys that, you know, are proven at the previous level and that you feel like can come in. And I think Goody, after what they did last year offensively with all those young guys, in fact, I know he really likes this idea now of bringing in young players, having them go through growing pains and then come out on the other side better for them. And I think if you look at what they did on defense with these draft picks, that's what he intends on doing on that side of the ball, just like he did. I mean, they picked three safeties. They picked two linebackers. They picked three offensive linemen. You know, he doubled and tripled up on positions that he felt like needed to be replenished, and it looks like he got most of the guys that he really wanted.
And he got Marshawn Lloyd, who looks like he may be the sleeper pick.
Well, not to Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd proclaimed that he's the best running back in the draft, even though he was the fourth one selected.
So, oh, okay.
You know, he's an interesting guy because, you know, he's 5'8", so there's not many players that the Packers draft that I'm actually taller than.
Mm-hmm.
But he is his 220 pounds and my 220 pounds are very different. And so they really like how powerful he is. Even though it's in a compact frame. So, and look, everyone loves A.J. Dillon around here. You know, he married a Green Bay girl. He's Mr. Door County. But when they brought him back on this inexpensive contract, nothing is guaranteed for him. So while he's active in the community and does charity work, you got to be able to play, most importantly. And I'm not sure with that draft pick, there's a chance that they say, okay, well, we appreciate everything you've done, but we like the young guy better, and he doesn't end up making the team. So he's got a challenge now, and they love competition. That was the word we heard most often over the three-day weekend, that they just want to really ratchet up the competition to be on this team, and that's another instance of where they did it.
Okay, did they bring the first-round draft pick in for one of those 30 visits, the pre-draft visits?
No, he was not one of the 30 that came. And there were a bunch of guys that they picked that did come in.
Okay.
But, like, Jordan Morgan was one of the guys that was like, yeah, I mean, I talked to him a little bit. But, you know, and there's another good example from Goody's first draft. Like, they picked Jair Alexander, and I still remember our call with him. He's like, yeah, I had no idea the Packers were interested. I never met with them.
Wow.
I didn't come visit them. And so sometimes, like, you know, they brought in a cornerback that, as a fan of the Kool-Aid man who broke through the walls when I was a kid, they brought in this corner from Alabama named Kool-Aid McKinstry. And he was available in the second round when the Packers traded back. And he was a guy who came in for a visit. He played a position that you thought they had a need. He's got a fun name. And yet that was not a guy that they had a chance to take him, and they didn't. So that tells you that they didn't evaluate him in a way that made them say, all right, this is a guy we've got to get. Cooper DeJean, the kid from Iowa, is the same way. And I always tell this story because this is like one of the biggest mistakes in Packers draft history, is that in 2017, which was Ted Thompson's last draft, they're sitting at the bottom of the first round, and they feel like they've got five or six guys that they really like. And so they trade back from 28 to the top of the second round at 33. So they said basically, look, we like all these guys. We'll take whoever's left. And so they're at the first pick of the second round. They pick Kevin King, who was a cornerback from Washington, who turned out to be a disappointment. But as we all know, one of the royalty families of Pewaukee, the Watts, T.J. Watt goes 29th to Pittsburgh. And forever after, we're always comparing, right? Well, The problem with that wasn't, oh, we thought we were going to get T.J. Watt at 33. The problem was that they misevaluated Watt. They didn't think he was that good. Mm. They actually thought that Vince Beagle, who also went to Wisconsin, was basically the same player who they drafted in the fourth round. Well, when you miss on an evaluation and the guy becomes a defensive player of the year and one of the best defensive players in football, that's what happens. You miss out. And we'll see. I'm not saying that that's what Cooper DeJean will be. This will not be J.J. or T.J. Watt part two, but the Packers will play Cooper DeJean in Brazil when they play the Eagles. And wouldn't it be something if Cooper DeJean, who they didn't want, ends up having like a crucial interception or something against Jordan Love? That would be an interesting storyline. But they got the guys they wanted. I just want to be clear. They did not evaluate a guy like Cooper DeJean as a guy that, oh, we've got to have him. They did not see him that way. Now we'll see if their evaluation was right.
Jason, how's Matt doing?
So is that out there?
It is.
Apparently it is.
Yeah, he had surgery the other day. Yeah.
I like how you know so
yeah.
much. You know so
I
much
knew
stuff
you would know.
That you have to delineate between what you uh-huh. can and can't say. So we just made the jump. Doreen's question made you jump from I can't talk about to, well, if it's out there.
It's out there, yeah.
You tricked me. I'm. There may be a time or two where I've done that with a source, too, where I said something that I wasn't necessarily 100% sure on, and then it, like you just tricked me into, they fell for it. Yeah, apparently he tore his pec muscle when he was lifting weights.
I know. It's such a Matt LaFleur injury.
It kind of is, yeah.
So remember, you know, in 2019 when he yeah. got here, he ruptured his Achilles playing pickup ball with the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, if he was a player, you'd say he was injury prone, and you would question his durability.
Yeah.
I know this. He, when he talked to us on Saturday night, you know, he had that, it must be his left pec because he never moved his left arm. But I know that he didn't want to come in there with a sling on because then everyone would have been asking what happened. And none of us asked about it. I had been told about it previously. But it was almost as if he was, you know, trying to make sure that no one realized it. But if you knew in advance, like I did, you were like, and I didn't want to embarrass him. It was clear you didn't want that. He didn't want anybody to know about it, or at least didn't want to be asked about it at the podium. But, yeah, he was, like, his left side of his body, like, he never moved. Like, he talks with his hands a lot, mm-hmm. and he just, it was just his right hand that kept moving, and that left hand was, like, glued to his side.
So the lesson here, Jason, is that he's not 50 yet, and he's had all of these injuries and surgeries and stuff, and you're over 50. You're doing fine.
You're doing A-okay.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right, and my eyebrows look almost as good. I'm almost in as good a shape. All the women of Green Bay have a crush on me like they have a crush on him. He's got my hair's better than his. Yeah, you nailed it. You got everything.
Close
right.
second.
Close second.
So you bring in these new draftees to Green Bay, and you'll put them through, you know, introduce them to Lambeau Field. When do they actually get to work?
So Friday is the first day of the rookie minicamp. So they practice Friday, Saturday. And so we will get to see them practice Friday afternoon. They bring all the guys in and then, you know, they kind of break them all available in the locker room. So you're kind of going from player to player to talk to them. My biggest dilemma is they did something that they don't do very often. They drafted a kid from Oregon. And his name's Evan Williams. He's a fourth-round pick from he plays safety. And my biggest dilemma is I wear a lot of Oregon gear because we have some quasi-family out there, and it kind of feels like this second home to us. So do I wear Oregon gear because I know that when we talk to Evan Williams, he's going to notice that, or do I not just because I don't want to be like looking like stuck-up yeah. guy to Evan Williams? And then they also draft an Oregon State guy.
Right, safety.
Who I asked. Right, and then so they drafted, and I asked the it's Ketan Oladipo, who was the other safety they drafted from Oregon State, and I asked, it was my favorite moment of the draft, I asked him if he and Evan Williams were going to be able to coexist in the same meeting room, and he thought that was the funniest joke ever, which I didn't think it was that good, actually, so maybe he was just courtesy laughing me. But like that was really good. That's good. No, I think we'll be fine.
Well, that was his way of buttering you up. You know what I'm saying? Like if you would wear the Oregon stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we continue, of course, to read your stuff. I always wait to read about the story. And if you are interested in the backstories of these guys who get drafted, Jason is the one to read because he's always the one that gets the good stuff out.
Yeah, really quick. I know you guys got to go. But so they drafted an offensive lineman. His name is Jacob Monk from Duke. Played a ton of games there. But his dad was a running back at Duke. His uncle played at North Carolina and passed away very young from cancer, but played in the NFL for 3 years. And his older brother has Down syndrome and autism, and Jacob is heavily involved in North Carolina with special needs kids. And wow. I mean, this guy, from our interaction with him and what Goody and LaFleur talked about with him, is just like, he's one of those guys that you just love to be around. Like, he's just that authentically good of a person. So he is at the top of my list of stories that I'm looking forward to tell. So I appreciate you mentioning that, because that is my yes, these guys all have to play. That's really important. They can't stink.
Right.
But finding out more about these guys is my favorite thing. So I appreciate you saying that.
Jason, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Take care. Be good.
You too. Jason Wilde. Appreciate it. Thank you, Jason. Always enjoy talking to Jason. Great insight. And he's an amazing writer. 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Co-host of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Radio here in Milwaukee. And part of the Morning KLH.